वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम फर्स्ट कैंटो चैप्टर 8 प्रेयर्स बाय क्वीन कुंती टेक्स्ट 47 अहो राजा धर्मसुतः चिंतयन् सुहृदां वधं प्राकृतेन आत्मना विप्राः स्नेह मोह वशं गतः आह राजा धर्मसुतः चिंतयन् सुहृदां वधं प्राकृतेनात्मना विप्रा स्नेहमोहवशं गतः आह राजा धर्मसुतः चिंतयन् सुहृदां वधं प्राकृतेनात्मना विप्रा स्नेहमोहवशं गतः said Raja King Yudhishthira Dharmasutah the son of Dharma Yamaraj Chintayan thinking of Suridam of the friends Vadham killing Prakritena, by material conception of only. By material conception only. Atmana, by the self. Vipraha, O Brahmana. Sneha, affection. Moha, delusion. Vasham, being carried away. Gataha, having gone. Translation, King Yudhishthira, son of Dharma, overwhelmed by the death of his friends, was aggrieved just like a common materialistic man. O sages, thus deluded by affection, he began to speak. Purport, as Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. King Yudhishthira, though he was not expected to become aggrieved like a common man, became deluded by worldly affection by the will of the Lord, just as Arjuna was apparently deluded. A man who sees knows well that the living entity is neither the body nor the mind, but is transcendental to the material conception of life. The common man thinks of violence and nonviolence in terms of the body, but that is a kind of delusion. Everyone is duty-bound according to one's occupational duties. A kshatriya is bound to fight for the right cause, regardless of the opposite party. In such discharge of duty, one should not be disturbed by annihilation of the material body, which is only an external dress of the living soul. All this was perfectly known to Maharaj Yudhishthira, but by the will of the Lord, he became just like a common man, because there was another great idea behind this delusion. The king would be instructed by Bhishma, as Arjuna was instructed by the Lord himself. Aharaja dharmasutash chintayan suridam vadam prakritena atmana vipra sneha moha vasham gataha Om Ajana Tamarandasya Sometimes the Lord uses his dear devotees who are fully enlightened spiritual topics for the purpose of explaining transcendental knowledge to those who are in ignorance. This is compared to the system in the Vedic culture, where the mother instructs her daughter-in-law, she instructs her daughter-in-law by instructing her own daughter. Because in the Vedic culture, when a son is married, he continues to live at home where he's living with his parents, and he brings his new bride also. So she also joins the family of the son. But because generally they're married quite young, so the girl may only be, she may not be very mature yet. So she needs to be trained, though it is the duty of the mother-in-law to give her further training. But because the relationship is not so strong, they're not so known to each other, instead of directly telling her certain things, she may instruct her own daughter, who knows already, but she says, "No, you do it like this, watch." And she does it in front of the daughter. So the daughter-in-law is also watching, and she's learning, but there's no problem with the relationship. The false ego is not interfered with. So by instructing her daughter, who already knows, in the presence of the daughter-in-law becomes instructed. So in the same way, Arjuna and Yudhisthira, they know everything. But by the will of the Lord, they're made to appear as though they do not know, overwhelmed by moha, illusion, and sneha, affection. It's like Arjuna, Yudhisthira, same thing. And now, by instructing them, they will play the part for learning and coming to the right conclusion, and then we, the souls who are actually in ignorance, we are not the ones who are this is not happening to us by the will of the Lord. Maybe some of us are not sure about that. We can be sure that what's happening to us, and the ignorance that we are in, is not by the will of the Lord. It is not a special arrangement. It is the arrangement of one of the dear agents of the Lord, whose name is Maya, Mahamaya, not Yogamaya. Yudhisthira and Arjuna are under Yogamaya, but we are under Mahamaya. Therefore, we should not take our ignorance as a pastime of ours, or as some kind of a special lila arranged by Krishna. Rather, it is arranged by Krishna through his agency, Maya, to keep us bewildered. Well, that is something to remember. But we can hear Bhagavad Gita because Krishna is chastising Arjuna, calling him indirectly fool number one. And you're speaking learned words, but mourning for what is not worthy of grief. Wise men do not do such things. So he's chastising Arjuna, and we're looking and saying, yes, that's very good, Arjuna. How could he think so foolishly like that? In this way, we learn without having the Lord directly criticizing us and instructing us, because we might not be able to accept it so easily. So that's one of the reasons why Yudhisthira was put into ignorance. Because only someone in Yudhisthira's position, his position was so unique. In our situation, we may have something to lament about. Someone becomes even harmed on our account. We may feel bad that we've let people down, or we haven't performed our duties properly. But look at Yudhisthira. Millions and millions of people were killed on his behalf, apparently. That's how he's thinking. So, therefore, his example is very appropriate and dramatic for us. Perfect arrangement. Krishna, after all, is he's the greatest scientist, and he's also the greatest dramatist, the greatest theatrical arranger, director. So he has a wonderful flair and ability to make his theme and make his points come out very nicely, very strongly by the arrangement of things. Sometimes to make an important point, so many players have to participate in the drama. All the members of the Kurukshetra battle. Of course, it is not that they were simply participating in the Kurukshetra battle and they all suffered and they're all not rewarded. Rather, because they were fighting for a righteous cause and because the Lord was personally present on the battlefield, all of them received a higher situation. Some of them went back to Godhead, some of them went to the heavenly planets, but everyone was benefited by taking part in that drama that the Lord arranged. No one was a loser, and certainly anyone who hears about the battle of Kurukshetra is not a loser. It is not an ordinary battle. We shouldn't think that it is like battles that we have today. It is stated here in the purport that a Kshatriya is bound to fight for the right cause. So we may say, well, what is a right cause? A right cause means according to Dharma, according to Varnashram Dharma, there are certain guidelines. What is the right cause? So, in other words, if people who are sincerely following their dharma are interrupted by someone else, some aggressor, then it is the duty of the Kshatriya to protect them and to fight the aggressor. There are six types of aggressors described in the Manusamhita: one who attacks with a weapon, one who kidnaps one's wife, one who sets fire to the house, one who steals one's possessions, one who attacks with deadly weapon. In this way, there are different types of aggressors. And one is not at fault for defending himself or defending others in that case. The problem today is, however, so we may wonder, are the wars today that we see, there's so many in the newspapers every day, several wars going on all the time, are these wars also righteous wars? No. Because God is far away. Dharma is far away. No one is thinking how to please the Lord. During peacetime, they don't serve the Lord. And during fighting, they don't serve the Lord. And after the fight, they don't serve the Lord. And they don't follow Dharma. So where is Dharma? How is it Dharma Yudha? Dharma is not there. It is simply a Dharma from the beginning to the end. The original intention is how to exploit material nature for my own purpose. Both sides. And then during the fight, both sides are also not fighting according to Dharma. And then after the fight, and both sides continue with the same sinful activities as before. So how is it Dharma? How is anyone getting the benefit? No one gets any benefit. These wars are of no value. The only value is that, of course, so many demoniac persons are eliminated, now there's some value in that. But as far as raising the standard of, or serving the Lord, or engaging in Dharma, that's not being done nowadays. Because no one knows Dharma. Kshatriyas don't know. So that was why Krishna was so intent that Arjuna should perform his duty and fight. Because it was Dharma from both points of view. From a material point of view, it was Dharma. Because the other side was aggressors. They had unfairly usurped the kingdom. So that was Dharma. And from the transcendental platform, it was also Sanatan Dharma, because Krishna was there giving him instructions. Everyone has two types of Dharma, Svadharma. There is the Asat Dharma, which pertains to the body, the temporary duties that one must perform. And then there is the Sat Dharma, or the duty that one has on the spiritual platform. Of course, if one understands the Sat Dharma, the eternal duty, then his Asat Dharma is also taken care of automatically. Just by serving Krishna, that is our Sat Dharma. By serving Krishna, automatically our Asat Dharma is taken care of. A devotee naturally then will behave properly in his social relationships. He will behave properly in his familial relationships. He will behave in the best interest of his self. This is the beauty of Krishna consciousness, that in one, simply one activity, all of his other responsibilities are taken care of. Devar Shibhutaptaninam Rani Sarvatmana Kinkaro Nayam Rani Charajan Sarvatmanam Sarvatmana Yak Sharanam Sharanyam Gato Makunda Parihrityakartam. So, by surrendering to Mukunda fully, service to Krishna fully, without any other considerations, one is freed from all responsibilities. This is a statement of Srimad Bhagavatam by Narad Muni, the great authority. He has no more responsibilities to the demigods. He doesn't have to perform the sacrifices for the demigods. He doesn't have to perform the deva and rishi. He doesn't have to engage himself in trying to repay the debts to the sages. He doesn't have to repay the forefathers. These debts are repaid by performing sacrifices and by practicing celibacy and by producing a son. So he doesn't have these responsibilities. He doesn't even have to go and serve in the government. He doesn't have to pay taxes even. If he's actually fully engaged in devotional service to Mukunda, he's free from all responsibilities. Does everyone understand this point? Or agree with it? Or grasp it? Because sometimes it's a little hard to understand because we have so many other duties in society. And it may seem... But I'll explain, give a little example how very easily this can be understood. If a man is working in a factory, some big, large business, and one day the boss of the whole company calls him in the office, and he says, "I've been watching you, I've been appreciating the way you're working, and now I want you, I'm going to give you a promotion, you'll become my secretary, you'll work up here with me. So, you can go tell the foreman that you're working with me, and you won't be working in his department anymore. You know what foreman means? His department head, down the lower department. So the man very happily goes down and tells his department head, his boss, lower boss, that the big manager of the whole company has asked me to come and be his secretary, so I'll be leaving now. It's been wonderful working with you, and thank you for all you've done for me. And the foreman, the small boss, he says, no, you can't leave. You have duties to do. There's so many things. Look at all the work we have. How can you possibly leave now? This is ridiculous. You just stay and work. So the person is confused. Well, no, the boss, the one in charge, the big one up on the top of the building, he said for me to come. I don't care who said it, the other man says. You have work to do. You do your work. So which is right? Is that foreman, is he correct in telling him to stay and do the work? He thinks, I've been given this work to do. We have so much to accomplish. This man is very essential for finishing the business. Is he making a good point? No. Why? What's the problem? Yes, he's forgetting that the other person who gave the order is above him also. He's not only this young man's boss, but he's also his boss. He's forgetting, becoming puffed up. No, I'm in charge here. You stay and work. He's forgetting, but the big boss said. So similarly, we forget sometimes. We group together and we call ourselves Germany or we call ourselves America. And we think very proudly, oh, we are the lawgivers now. We are in charge here, and we're giving you duties, and you all have to perform. But we're forgetting that above us, there's another bigger boss who's saying, yes, they should work under your direction unless they agree to serve me. And if they agree to serve me, then they have no other responsibilities. I take care of everything. Sarva dharmat paricha jamame kam charanam bhaja. So, then, everyone should accept that. That is a special prerogative for one who is engaged in the full devotional service to the Lord. There's even such a thing as avaduta. You've heard the term avaduta. An avaduta is one who is on the Paramahansa platform. He's completely beyond the rules and regulations of society, and sometimes he behaves in such a way that it's difficult to understand. For example, Rishabhdev, after he gave up being the king, he went around with no clothes, and he appeared like a deaf and dumb man. He wouldn't speak to anyone. So people were throwing stones at him, throwing garbage, and dogs were barking. They didn't understand. This was the greatest elevated soul. So we shouldn't be surprised that sometimes society does not recognize the exalted position of Vaishnavas, one who's engaged in devotion, and sometimes they want to cause them harm or disrespect. Well, this is part of the task of being a devotee of the Lord, is that one must undergo some difficulties at the hands of the non-devotees. There are many examples. Well, that's why Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, there is no one more dear to me than he who preaches, because he knows what difficulties the preachers have to undergo on his behalf. And therefore, he gives them special mercy. there any questions? Yes? Yeah. So that is the Vedic literatures, however, give guidelines for the Vaishnavas also. And only the Paramahansa, that person who's so advanced, he may not follow the Vedic principles, but the others, even Vaishnavas, principles of Bhakti Yoga are delineated. You must be truthful. And what are the 26 qualities of a devotee? Kind to everyone, does not quarrel with anyone, mild, meek, benevolent, clean. These are Vaishnav qualities. Tatikshava, Karunika. Tatikshava means tolerant. Karunika means merciful. So, if one is actually following the Vaishnav principles, then he will not behave in an abominable way. He will not be acting under pride. Trinadapi sunichina, tororapi suhisha. He will not be demanding that others give him respect if he's actually understanding his position. I'm lower than the straw in the street. How can I demand respect from anyone? We don't see the straw as demanding respect. Everyone steps on the straw, the grass, again and again, hundreds of times. So many times that people even drive over, and the straw never complains, never objects. Wait a minute, this is unfair. No, it just stays down again. So the position of a Vaishnava is he's very humble. He considers himself the lowest. Therefore, there's no question of improper behavior, because his qualities, his consciousness is so pure and clean. Now, if someone artificially thinks himself very advanced when he's not, then there may be some disturbances, yes. So that can happen. That can happen in anything. But it doesn't mean that we must not accept the truth. The truth is that if someone is able to do so, then all of his responsibilities are taken care of. Just like even in the material sense. Because why is that? Is it that he's actually giving up his responsibilities? Or is it that he's taking up higher responsibilities? Which is it? Just like the person, the young man who was working in the factory, and the big boss said, come on up and work with me. The other one could say, you're being so irresponsible. As he's walking away, he said, you're irresponsible, you're leaving your work, you're a nonsense, you're hurting the factory. He's chastising as he leaves. You're hurting my family and their families. Your own family's going to suffer because of this. You yourself will be unhappy. He's going on and on. But it's not intelligent, because he doesn't know the man's going up. He's taking up more responsibilities, not less, higher. Otherwise, why would the big boss give him the promotion? Obviously, he's qualified to take up more responsibility. So similarly, if someone engages in service to Mukunda or Krishna, well, that's the highest responsibility. That means he cares the most about society. He's doing the best work for society, for his family. Someone could say, what about Prahlad? He gave his father so much trouble. Was that good? Why didn't he just become a nice little boy and obey his father, make his father happy? Look how much anxiety. And ultimately it was because of Prahlad that Hiranyakashipu had to be killed. What kind of a son is that? Bad son, someone may say. No, not bad son. Because we see, if you wait a little bit further in the story, you'll see that Hiranyakashipu received liberation because of Prahlad. And not only that, but 20 generations backwards, 20 generations forward, all received liberation because of Prahlad's devotion. He knew how to give the best service to his family by serving Krishna. So if we serve Krishna, we're automatically doing the best service for our family. We're automatically doing the best service for the nation. When Subhash Chandra Bose, who was leading up the Indian National Army some time ago in the Second World War, he came to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and said, so, I'm creating this army for the country. I need some of your men, because Bhaktisiddhanta had 64 mats and he had many followers. And so Bhaktisiddhanta said, oh, don't take these men. Look, they're all thin. They're all skinny. They won't be able to fight very good. Just let them do some puja or chant. So in this way, he avoided. But actually, the reason was because they're doing better service. But of course, Subhash Chandra Bose couldn't understand that because he was a nationalist. He thought the highest service was for the country. Nationalism. But there's higher than nationalism. And that is to work in Krishna's army. So if one takes up the service of the Lord, he's doing the best service. Any other questions? Because Krishna says that everyone should surrender to him. Everyone is qualified to render devotional service to the Lord, not only certain people. Now, even if someone takes to devotional service, let's say, in the example you gave, someone takes, and then he doesn't complete it, is there any loss? According to Bhagavatam, not according to our parents and so many other people have their opinion. But according to Bhagavatam opinion, there's no loss. Neha bikramanasho sti pratyabhayana vijate svapamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahatobaya. In this endeavor, there is no loss or diminution, and a little advancement on the path will protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. And there's another statement in the Srimad Bhagavatam. There's no loss. It is only gain. Devotional service is the only important thing he's done in his life. Anything else that we do without devotional service to the Lord so-called society, so-called friendship, so-called love, so-called duties, ultimately these don't have any real effect. There's no benefit. Shramayivi Kevalam. So, why? Because what is the goal of life? We have to consider, what is the goal of life? Is the goal of life to remain here and to eat, sleep, mate, and defend? Well, in that case, then all the animals would be great mahatmas. They're very dedicated to those activities. Are they also mahatmas? I was telling the story, one of the centers we passed through, about one hen, you know, female chicken. So she took shelter of one of our houses, next door house. And it was raining like this for weeks, but she wouldn't move. She was sitting on her eggs, performing great austerities for her chicks, for her little babies. Well, that was great, but we don't consider her a mahatma. We don't say she's such a great soul. Although, because even we could not be so dedicated to sit in one place for 2 weeks in the rain. Would you be able to do that for your little baby? No. Without eating, she was sitting, not even moving. So that is not the sign of a mahatma. Mahatmanas tumam partha daivim prakritamashita. They take shelter of devotional service to Krishna. That is the mahatma. So we have a different definition. Krishna has a different definition. That's his words. Mahatmanas tumam partha daivim prakritamashita. Pajanyamanyamanaso gyatvamam shatum shantumach richati. They're engaged in my devotional service. That is a mahatma. Krishna sets the criterion of what is exalted and what is not exalted. To serve this world is, you may consider it great, but then you have to consider the animals also great. So it's on the level of the animals. Deha patyakalatradishu atmasainyeshu asatsupi. In another place it is described, that one who considers this body to be himself and the family members to be his kinsmen is no better than a cow or an ass. So, you may say, yes, the family members in society, they want us to remain in that pashu consciousness. So, are we going to agree to that? Even if a person performs one moment's devotional service, even 1 second association with the sadhus, it can bring him all perfection. So why should one not take that opportunity to begin his devotional service? There's no loss or diminution. Only benefit for everyone. And then even if he falls from that position due to his immaturity and continues in his material life, still he will get another opportunity. He will take his birth in a better family where he'll be able to continue his devotional service. Or even in this lifetime, we've seen many times, happens. So there's no loss. Associating with devotees is wonderful. Then again, if someone is not prepared to follow the principles, then there's no need to have them and stay. Because living in our centers means take the training. So it's a voluntary thing, it's not forced. We don't force anyone to move. But it's if someone is willing to take the training, it's like we have some new people, they're willing to take the training. So that is good for them. They're getting the highest education. They're doing the highest service to society. They're doing the best service for their family. It's in the best self-interest. What else? Economic development. This is the best. It says in the Bhagavatam that if one gives charity to a half-educated brahmana, he gets, in the next life, guaranteed bank balance, as twice as much. If he gives to a qualified brahmana, he gets 100 times. If he gives to a Vaishnav, thousands of times. And if he gives to a Paramahamsa, millions of times return. So even from economic development point of view, he's giving his time and energy to Krishna and to Prabhupada and to the Vaishnavas, Paramahansa. He's getting guaranteed bank balance in the future. What to speak of? If you get to go to live in Vaikuntha, how much does it cost to live in Vaikuntha? What are the rents there? Huh? What does it cost to live in Vaikuntha? Huh? Yes, you can't afford it with material money. Here you may move to a higher place and you have to pay 2,000 marks, 3,000 marks, and you have to work so hard. But what about being elevated to Vaikuntha, to Krishna's planet? And how, even the ticket, even the airline, how much does it cost to fly there? Just to fly to America costs so much, what to speak of Vaikuntha. Or go to the moon. So, even from a material point of view, it's the best thing for someone. And he'll be a much better person. You may say, no, he should get married and take this and that. And no, but if he gets married and he's on the level of an animal, then the poor wife, she has an animal for a husband. And the poor children, they have animals for father. Better he becomes a saintly person. Then the wife will have nice, saintly husband, and children have nice, saintly father. See? So we're making saints. This Krishna consciousness movement is for making crows into swans. So how will they become a swan unless they associate? So if someone is willing to take some training and learn the art of devotional service, that's very good. That's why these centers are here. And we encourage, we invite everyone, please come. Take this opportunity to associate, perform devotional service to Krishna. There's nothing better than serving Krishna, is there? Is there anything better than serving Krishna? Why shouldn't we give them the best thing? If we don't give them the best thing, we're called kripanas. We have the greatest thing, the greatest wealth. So shouldn't we offer that to others? Just like Ramanujacharya, you know, his guru, was somewhat an impersonalist, I think, at the time. He gave him some mantra. He said, this mantra, it's a very valuable mantra, but just keep it private. So Ramanujacharya, he thought, if it's valuable, how can I keep it private? I have to give it to everyone, all these poor, suffering people. So he started giving it out. So if we actually have, if devotional service to Krishna is actually the most valuable thing, then is it not our duty to give it to everyone else? Freely? Yes. Just like in the 1950s, some of you were maybe on this planet at that time, in this body, I don't know, but in America we had the thing called polio vaccine. Polio is a disease. You know what it's called? What's it called? Polio. Mm-hmm. So, first in the beginning, they used to give us shots. And we, as children, we didn't like it. You know, injections, it hurt. The needle hurt. So then, they thought, but we have to give it to everyone because they wanted to destroy this disease. So then they started putting it on sugar cubes. They put some drops on a sugar, and then we came and they gave us sugar. We used to think that was wonderful as children. We were very happy to take the medicine because it was on sugar cubes. And the result was that none of us got polio. They wiped out polio. So similarly, if we want to get rid of this disease, the only method, Enechio Shadi Maya Nashi Baro Lagi, Harinama Maha Mantra Lao Tumi Magi. The medicine is the Harinama Maha Mantra. We have to give that to everyone. Hare Krishna. If we give them the Hare Krishna Mantra, then the disease will be destroyed. And not only do we give them the mantra, but we teach them how to avoid the 10 offenses. Right? And that's where they come and they receive training. They learn how to avoid 10 offenses. Otherwise, the offenses may go on, chanting Hare Krishna and smoking marijuana at the same time, or chanting Hare Krishna and doing so many other nonsense things. So we teach them how to behave according to Vaishnav Sadachar. It's the greatest gift, the most wonderful, valuable thing. Even if someone comes for 1 minute, gets unlimited benefit. Have you read the Gita Mahatmya? There's one book also describing the glories of devotional service. Any other questions? Yeah. The symptom? Cause? Yes, we discussed earlier that if someone is not understanding, but of course the safety here is that if one follows the order of the spiritual master very carefully, very attentively, one reads the books regularly, then everything is given. For example, in the life of the Acharyas, we see that although Yudhisthira Maharaj was a devotee, still he performed his duty. And Arjun was a devotee, but he performed his duty. And there are so many examples. All the Vaishnavas, only a few acted as Paramahansa Avadutas, gave up their duty. And that is an extraordinary situation. But the others, they behaved very nicely according to even what ordinary society would consider nice. So a Vaishnav, he's a perfect gentleman.